You are listening to The Crypto Hustle with Eleanor Blanc. Only on the CoinSpice.io podcast network.
All right, we're back with episode number 3 of The Crypto Hustle with Eleanor Blanc. This is going to be a very interesting episode. I think the first two were pretty great. But this one in particular is going to be interesting because we're stuck right now in the middle of a gigantic debate, which I think we alluded to and talked a little bit about last time. But before we get too much further into that, first off, welcome back to your show, Eleanor.
Now, thank you very much, Kelso. Thank you for having me. And indeed, we have gigantic, let's say, community debates going on. So let's see if we can do an honest comment about it and cover it decently and try to wrap our hands around what's happening.
Yeah. And there's a lot to say. There's a lot to discuss. Straight No Chaser, I'm the editor-in-chief out of CoinSpice, so I have to kind of not call balls and strikes and try to play it, you know, right down the middle in terms of...
I love your disclaimer.
I was going to say, like, how many cliches can I say in one sentence?
This is not investment advice, everybody listening. Everything we say, no.
But my charter is to cover the peer-to-peer electronic cash community, and so if people are for it or they're against the infrastructure funding plan for Bitcoin Cash, and they're prominent or their proposals are interesting enough or, you know, whatever, I'll cover it no matter where they fall.
It's really, just to hop on that, like you've done, someone needs to toot your horn. So if you don't want to do it for yourself, I would like to toot and say how amazing your coverage has been from the IFP. Like really, like CoinSpice, okay, I'm totally biased because you are one of my sources of information, but really, like, you were the go-to platform for me to just catch up on everything because you really, I think, captured what the community was saying on different platforms, whether it be Reddit or, you know, Telegram groups, all the way to all the read.cash articles that came out from different proponents, either offering alternatives to the IFP or contesting the IFP or supporting the IFP. Kelso, you've really done an amazing job. So I would just like to just start this off by saying thank you for covering the debate, trying to keep it, or actually more than trying, like really trying to show all the different points of view in an objective way is really hard. I would say that even for us tonight recording this podcast, I do realize that we are commentators, but we're also part of this community. So when we speak, of course, we think about the larger game that's at play here. And not only do we want to give the right information, report on the proper comments that are being made, and also to really inspire others to, and I know this is going to sound really cliche, but to do their research, to follow this with us. And there's not many outlets out there that are covering the IFP. I think a lot of crypto outlets out there are just like, oh my God, Bitcoin Cash, you know, whatever, you know, community drama. But it's more than that. It's really people that care, Bitcoiners that have been in the space for a long time or less long time or whatever. There's so much passion. Or there's also weird game plays and game politics, which might sometimes fly and we don't realize them. So I do realize that there's a lot of things at play, a lot of different actors and stakeholders with different incentives in the game here. But I do want to sort of shine light on the voices that are trying to keep this community together at the same time. Well, like you, like CoinSpice, just trying to just keep us informed. There's a lot of people who care. Not everybody is going to have an opinion on an IFP and how things are run and how governance is being at play. Not everybody is going to be able to see the companies that are behind the developers that are funding them. We are really on the frontier of what I would call decentralized governance. This is at play right now in front of us. If this is emergent consensus or whatever the name we want to call it of people and different stakeholders trying to voice their concerns, but also their love, their passion for Bitcoin Cash, it's literally happening right now. So it might be messy, but we still love it. So
Well, that's very nice of you to say. And
With a big sigh. Did you hear
no,
that?
No, I'm with
end?
You. I'm with
I'm
you.
I'm still sighing, but I'm still positive.
As I told you last episode, I was already tired of talking about it after maybe 2 or 3 days. So
I know.
Yeah, Coin Spice is reflective, just, and you put it perfectly, of the ecosystem, in the sense that we're split exactly as the community is. Some of us are for it, some of us are against it. Some of us are, you know, kind of agnostic and, you know, kind of watching it as it plays out. But we're very much, you know, the same dynamics that you see going on, either Reddit, like I said, read.cash, or as we document on CoinSpice, are happening within our internal organization. And it's substantive. It's something that as a dedicated outlet to peer-to-peer electronic cash, that we've actually been talking about, Jesus, you know, nonstop for about a year. We, you know, in the case of Anne-Marie, you know, we were his go-to outlet in the sense that politically, we were one of the few that would, you know, put him on or encourage him to go on and talk about his feelings and what he was thinking about with regard to infrastructure funding. So we've, you know, this, in a sense, it's not new. What's new is that everybody kind of jumping into the debate is new. I think you've got the right attitude in the sense that it's encouraging that there's substantive, uncensored debate, that it's happening. You know, that there's always, you know, obviously camps forming and there's recriminations, and there definitely is some, there are some stinkers out there who are saying awful things, but they're few and far between, and people really are, after they get through with the ad hominems, they're sort of focusing in on, you know, issues of economics, as you say, governance, you know, whether or not it's within the realm of the white paper, node implementations, and should we have more or less, how to fund, where to fund, voting, the nature of voting itself.
We have so many topics to cover. Like, it's just awesome. It's endless. And it's not completely endless. I would think, like, from what you've just mentioned, the governance and the voting, those are new. Like, this whole debate is really bringing about a new narrative for Bitcoin Cash. Like, 2 months ago, the idea of self-funding mechanism, the idea of just taking part of the block reward and funding something for the community, that was, for me, that was like, no, that's not possible. I mean, how would you even start about this? How do you, you know, involve the miners like this? And this came from Zhang, right? Zhang Zuoer of BTC Top is at the same time championing this debate. It also came out a little bit as a surprise for most of the community, what was going on, but at least now it's out there, right? We're dealing with it. And I would just like to give something that really sort of touched me this week as well, is when I saw Cindy Wang, who's really working hard on making sure that our community across continents, across languages, that we can still communicate with each other. Something that I'm biased of and conscious of is my sources, my information, my own echo chamber, if you will, my Telegram groups, the Reddits that I'm following, the podcast that I listen, are all in English, right? Even though myself, even though English is, you know, it's fine for me, right? But like, I would love to see what other cultures out there, what other communities are talking about, what's happening in the Portuguese community, what's happening in the Italian community, et cetera. But more so in this particular subject, it makes a lot of sense to have an idea of what's going on in the Chinese community. More than ever, we need bridges. We need to build bridges between that community and the larger, I don't know, the English-speaking ones on different channels. The fact that Cindy went on Bihu, you know, those are just different places where people who are as involved, if not more, are speaking about this, and that's something that's completely closed off to me. So, yeah, that I think we need to find a way where not only is this moment, this whole IFP craziness is creating, all right, it's creating different camps, as you mentioned, but it's also creating an opportunity for people to realize, okay, these are all the people that care about this because, you know, they're loud and they're talking, but also because the companies that are behind this, et cetera, that are supporting or against the IFP, we're speaking out. Everybody's standing and saying, this is what I support. This is not what I support. It's also a moment, I think, for the community to look at each other and realize that there's other players out there that are not always the most well represented in the English speaking community.
It's another great point. And shout out to Cindy. I call her Rebel Girl.
Rebel Girl? Uh-huh. I really want to meet her. I really, that's something that, you know, from connecting with Emily or Akana, like these girls out there, and okay, sorry guys for like, but like these girls out there for me that are different, let's say ambassadors, right? Different women in different industries, in different companies, probably different ventures, but fighting for peer-to-peer electronic cash in different ways, that really inspires me. So these are really people that I look forward to meeting in person one day, of course, but like just by seeing their endeavors and following them remotely and seeing the initiatives that these women are taking is very inspiring. So this one definitely this week for me was a highlight. I was like, yes, we need more Cindy's. Or
sure.
It's really awesome.
She and Rebel Akane, Girl. Yeah, and Tammy have formed Satoshi's Angels, and they're kind of doing this marketing group to help bridge the gap between the West and sort of broadly speaking Asia, from China to South Korea and Japan. And Cindy is just, first off, she's been quarantined in her home for 20 plus days when I spoke to her last. And she won't, you know, she freely admitted this, but before we started talking, she says, Khao Sao, will you do me a favor? And I said, sure. Well, what do you need? Send me masks. And we start talking, and I'm extremely, you know, I'm an American, right? So we're extremely insulated here. We have giant oceans. We have a gated community. We're very provincial, even though we're this, you know, military economic superpower. We're extremely myopic. This is a stereotype. You can't really say anything
about
50 million people, but I'm, you know, speaking for myself, I guess. And so I'm very goal specific and, again, myopic. So when I'm going to speak to her, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so we're going to get onto the IFP and what the Chinese community thinks about it. And then she hits me with just a dose of reality, and I was like, did you say masks?
She's like, yeah, wake up call.
I was like, well, maybe this conversation isn't as important as maybe I'm putting it out to be.
No, but it's interesting to, well, what you're just describing right now, maybe this was an eye opener for you as well. You're like, whoa, okay, this woman living all the way in mainland China, what is her reality? You know, fighting for peer-to-peer electronic cash and facilitating, English-Chinese AMAs and fighting for this movement from her home, asking for masks. I think that's, you know, just, it can be an eye-opener on so many levels, right? On her reality.
Yeah.
And this podcast is called The Crypto Hustle, right? Because we're trying to show us hustling. I mean, if that's not hustling, you know, asking for masks while, you know, trying to convey and transmit what's coming out from the Chinese community, I mean, again, kudos, really.
Yeah, she is a superstar. And but your point about the East-West divide here culturally is well taken, and it's something that we're confronting. So what could happen, and what seems as of today, right now, and I'm trying not to date us, but just for the evergreenness of our listeners, and them being able to enjoy it without going, oh, that's, you know, the IFP is going to happen.
This is a timeless podcast. Sorry. A timeless podcast that can be listened all the time, anytime.
The IFP is going to happen. It's been hard-coded. It's in the new ABC version. It's going in. I think the only change I saw more recently was that instead of opting out for minors, it's been changed to opt in.
Right.
But other than that, it's going to go through. Again, we have months to go, and who knows what will happen. But the point being, we're now going to see the Bitcoin experiment with live ammunition. So it's going to be it's brought together these people, these brilliant people, to try to so they want to stave off the IFP. They feel it's not ultimately beneficial for, again, variety of reasons, whether it's community outrage, splitting it, or economics or whatever. But also, they're in a sense trying to offer an alternative. So they're agreeing with Amaury, who spent the last at least year asking, begging, fighting, pleading, really making serious enemies of some very important people in the peer-to-peer cash world over funding. And now a group is laser focused. So whatever you think of Amaury, and you're free to think it, meaning the listener, he has added, so he's through with talking, essentially. And he's like, look, this is going to happen. It's within the realm of possibility. According to him, it was not his idea. It came from a very influential mining pool in BTC Top and supposedly some others. And it's just, this is going to happen. There's been some adjustments and, you know, based on community feedback, but this is what we're doing now. So I don't see them, ABC, pulling back unless there's a viable alternative. And I freely admit, I don't know who judges what's viable, but my ultimate point here is that he has focused the community on this issue, which, again, I have some people telling me that it's not even an issue. We shouldn't even, who cares how it's funded, you know, sort of thing. That it, you know, just let it go, and, you know, sort of thing. But he's, I mean, say whatever you want. He's focused the community. And there are a lot of people coming up with huge alternatives.
Of course, but I wouldn't expect, full disclosure, I believe that Amaury wants the best for Bitcoin Cash, for BCH, for ABC, for this larger goal at heart that we have, which is to enable cheap, fast, permissionless transaction on BCH, right? We are born from a debate to ensure that we can scale, right? Bitcoin Cash came from a scalability debate. And right now, it's another debate, but it's still about scalability, this time not about the size of the blocks, not about which tech to implement, or, you know, if we should have native or non-native token implementation on Bitcoin Cash. It's about the sustainability of having developers working on the protocol. Now, something that is being discussed right now is there's, for our listeners out there, the IFP currently would mean that a certain number of whitelisted projects would be able to benefit from the funds. ABC, BCHD, Electron Cash, even though those people have actually spoken against the system. So what I mean by going it back to this idea of whitelists is that a certain number of people should be able to benefit from this fund. Now, where the community is in uproar about is why these projects and how will we decide how much will go to these projects and why have these projects at all whitelisted? Why is there a whitelist at all, basically? How can we make sure that these donations basically can go to whoever merits right? The thing is we're kind of lost in our own narrative because Bitcoin Cash has several implementations. This is something that people fought for. We did not want one team of developers, one code to be the only choice. Plurality of choice will ensure quality, hopefully, in the long term. Plurality of choice, plurality of implementation will ensure that we don't suffer from capture. This was something really important for this community. And right now, we do have a capture. So it's a matter of deciding how do we either move on with this capture and accept it, or on the contrary, say, no, this is not what we stand for. This is not what we have agreed kind of as a community on a consensus on the ideas, on the fundamentals of how Bitcoin Cash should be. We are trying to do something different here. This is a fork because we wanted to do something different. We had a different plan in mind. And now, if the plan changes, which is fine, because we're not, nothing is set in stone on MetaNet or whatever, we can change. What is missing is, how do we change? How do we have this moment, this agora moment for the community to come and discuss things and debate and disagree and do better? And it's at play in front of us. The first IFP that come out is not the one that's being implemented today.
That's right.
The IFP of yesterday is not the same as today. So you and I are trying to follow all these tweaking that is happening, but it is being tweaked. People are just like, oh, it just got hard forked, hard coded in the ABC. No, like, I mean, yes, but it's still evolving. The hows, the, you know, is it 2/3 of hashing power? Is it opt-in, not opt-in? Who's going to run what? Or do miners have a choice? What is it with BIP9 and how is that going to be implemented? And is it okay actually that now we don't need 95% of hash rate to agree? Is it okay to have 2/3? Like, this is also new, right?
So, and it's 2/3 of about 4%.
Right. I mean, oh gosh. So
right.
For our listeners here that are like, guys, stop talking about the IFP or talk more. I would just say that things are still at play. May is when everything is going to be decided, and we'll see how the community reacts. We'll see how the companies involved in this are going to react. And for now, we're purely speculators here, commentators, followers, and especially, let me just say that we are passionate about this, because there's not many people on this planet that are covering this the way we are, that are following this closely like we are. So there's still something here. There's, above all, I do still believe that we do care. That's the most important.
Yeah, and there's going to be more talk about what is the community, because again, which I think you so brilliantly brought out, is that when we're on Twitter, that when we're on Reddit or Read.cash or even CoinSpice, it's English, it's Western based, and that's not the community. That's a segment of the community. There is another part of the community that's at least in the East, and there's fragments within all the different fragments. So be careful with social media. The loudest voices tend to carry disproportionate weight and may seem to have the day, whereas some people believe that Bitcoin has nothing to do with social media or. So it's really the heart of what the IFP is, you know, miners are essentially Bitcoin. and they're the stopgap that can decide this. Well, then someone else says, no, developers are the heart of Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's like, wait, are the, yeah, I had this the discussion the other day. Do miners serve the code, or is it the other way around? Is the code serving the miners?
We're debating that. So there are people saying that, well, again, I'm going to come off as Amaury's pitch man. But Amaury is saying, look, he and his team have basically created, it's a kind of a loaded word, $1 billion worth of value for miners. So chicken egg, which comes first, the code or the mining, you know what I mean? And then
what about the companies around, right? Like that's
right.
That goes back to your question you just asked, like a little just before. What is the community? When I look at other projects out there that do have self-funding mechanism, I just wish we could learn from them. Okay, take the good parts of other blockchains out there that have self-funding, decentralized funding mechanisms, and learn from them. And instead of debating if we're serving the miners or if the miners should serve us, no, just let it's all of it. It's all of it together at the same time. it's the code, it's the miners, it's the users, and it's the user-facing companies that are, you know, trying to make sure that users can transact, send, store, exchange in a safe manner, in a cheap censorship manner. And it's all these actors together that are trying to figure out a way for us to have a sustainable model, right? Yes, it's a 1 billion whatever industry created around Bitcoin Cash, but it's either nothing or a lot, right? It sounds a lot when you throw the word like 1 billion, but I'm like, guys, we still haven't eaten up the traditional finance world. We haven't. This is a fight that's ongoing. And that's also what I feel like that is important to also remind people, is that sometimes when we go so deep into these conversations, into these debates, which are really important, by the way, we do have to figure this out. But I'm also thinking about the larger community, let's say, at large, but also the millions of users that have wallets and that are just, you know, shouldn't feel like, you know, oh, what's going to happen? Is there going to be a split? No. It was horrible when I was working with BTC.com and there was so much uncertainty, you know, what is a replay? What is replay protection, for example? I don't want users to feel those. I don't want that anxiety, basically, in a user-facing product. And all of this back-end work that is happening is paramount. But at the same time, I always think about the larger picture of what's at play, even though it goes all the way down to deciding how funds that are attributed from a Coinbase go and how that's being decided. That's kind of the bottom up. But I also think we have to have the top down larger picture at heart as well. My two points on this.
Well, no, they're all great. And the reason that I want to talk about it in this manner is that it's, again, illustrative of the fact that if someone is very, very sure, if you hear from a pundit or and anybody really online or in real life, and they just know, you know, they can tell you everything about crypto, be very wary of them. I have kind of a universal Kessel law, which goes something like, no one understands crypto. So the more people push a certain agenda, the less I'm inclined to take them seriously. So I'll say, okay, I'll just kind of conceptually put them in this box. So stripping away all the verbiage, stripping away everything. If the mining pools want to, they can collude with reference implementations or developers and institute this. Yes. Just put it forward. And then
I know they can. I know they can.
They appear to be doing it, right? Right.
I know.
And so what we have to do then, or I guess what the community does then, is it decides, okay, that's fine, or I don't care enough.
Or that's not okay.
Or it's not okay. So I think what might end up happening is, after all this wailing and gnashing of teeth, the thing gets implemented, and then the debate starts. Does that make any sense at all?
No. The debate is now. It's because you're right. If a certain implementation, ABC, colludes with certain minors, and let's not use the word collude, because colluding sounds like, no, like, they've been working together already for years. Let's not just pretend like these guys just are now like in a secret back alley. No, these guys work together on a regular basis.
I do need to make that clear. Yeah. I'm using prescriptive language. I'm using descriptive. So like words like cartel, I'll have a negative connotation. But what I'm saying
even is... Even I do like that. I do. Cartel sounds cute.
But yes, you're right. Go, keep going.
No, but they can. All right. So that's something we have to come, you know, either we're not. And this is where it's interesting that Jiang is actually using the word, you know, that what's the most important is that Bitcoin Cash remains decentralized. But right now, the community can really point fingers and be like, okay, these guys are doing that with these guys. And if these guys agree with each other, then that means everybody else is left out. And it's not because they can, all right? I know they can. The question is, if they should, that's one question. And then the other question is, if they can and if they have this power, then do it right. They would have been, like, this debate, which is ongoing currently, was triggered by things that could have been simply avoided from the get-go. Like maybe not mentioning Xi Jinping in the first IFP, you know? Maybe not saying, and even those things have been retracted since. It has sparked a feeling that in the community that things should be voiced, that things should be discussed. And that's okay. It's okay to discuss things. Things have to be hashed out. People have the right in this industry to speak out. Look at us too on this podcast right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody which is part of this community, meaning holds Bitcoin Cash, holds whatever cryptocurrency, there's something about the fact that this community can express itself all the time on different mediums. It's very important. And this is something we need to always keep in mind.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Trust me, I do it all the time. But to reel you back in for a second, because you're on point, is so a business and a group of purveyors or vendors can build this giant edifice and
still listen to the community's feedback.
Well, they can sell widgets and they can put forward their widget and have all this funding, get loans, capital, however they do it, to build their giant building, staff it, do all this stuff, and yet no one wants their effing widget. That, in a sense, is community feedback and debate. So in the anarcho-capitalist world, appeals to voting in the a traditional way that maybe we understand them, you know, going to a poll, one person, one vote, let's make sure everybody's got a voice. The anarcho-capitalist says basically nuts to that. Who owns the thing? And I think part of the debate is who owns the thing. So the guy has hash power and he says, I'll just say woman. The woman has hash power. And she goes, you know what? I'm tired of doing X. Let's do Y. And I'm going to recruit people to help me do Y. She's going to learn, as the BTC top founder, Zhang Zuo, is learning real fast whether or not that's a good idea. in what complicates matters from an anarcho-capitalist perspective, which is where Amaury comes out, or comes from rather, where Roger Ver comes out of, where Vin Ramani comes out of, is the open source community. So the open source community, the ethos there is, you know, let's transparency, put everything out in front. And so Zhang speaks to that. He goes, look, I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm telling you, this is a debate we've had. You know, we've been talking about this for years. We clearly need some sort of sustainable, blah, blah. He puts forward this idea. This is what we're going to do. Time for debate is over. Let's try it temporarily, see how it works out. But the acknowledgement at the, just the fact that he would do that is a nod to the community. And then as you so rightly stated, he's then amended it two times.
Yeah. And so it means they're listening. Yeah. It means the discussion is happening now. It is. It really is. So it's not like we have to like wait in 3 months and then we'll decide and then we'll be able to hash it over. No, the discussion, the debate is happening now. And I understand others that are like, oh, let's just wait. Let's see. Let's implement it. And let's see in 6 months. And then we'll review our KPIs. And then we'll review how to do this better. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but what if we actually have, what if we hash out the big arguments now, allowing maybe for a better IFP on in mid-May to happen? That's my wish, at least.
Yeah, I covering it has made me appreciate the debate, which sounds very soft and sounds really, really, really like, you know, oh, you don't, you know, you're just afraid to say how you really feel. And I think there's an element of truth to that. But who owns the thing is part of the debate. And then what is the community? Like, who determines that? And then who determines what so just to be completely crass, right? Gang rape is democracy, right? We all, 20 guys sat around, found one girl, they all voted.
Wait. Kelso, you sure you want to go there? I don't like this.
But what I'm saying is that
I don't like this metaphor. Right, nope. Scratch it. Go back.
It was done on purpose to get the rise.
To trigger.
Right. So the point is that just because everybody or a majority or whatever, two-thirds, and this goes, you know, both ways for the IFP, doesn't really mean a whole lot to some folks. And then what I think is happening in, again, real time, is that we have this debate being fleshed out as to, it's so meta. Who and what is going to determine this? And there's so many sub-debates. I've seen people
who are...
But
that's why we're so geeky about it.
Yes. They're so incredibly against the IFP, right? They go crazy, 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 crazy. And all of a sudden, they'll say on Twitter, well, if there wasn't a whitelist, this is after they've called people communists, fascists, dictators, and threatened lives. Then they'll say, it's very interesting. They'll say, but if there wasn't a whitelist, I think I'd be for it.
Oh, gosh. Well,
it's so fascinating. Like that's, to me, is so fascinating because we're now discussing what it means, what Bitcoin means. So in documenting how the community, again, very fuzzy word, feels about it, we're participating in it. We're reflecting it back to itself. And
as you said, maybe it might, if we're discussing like who owns what community, what governance, the game is at play right now. That's why I would argue that the discussion and the you covering all of these discussions and this debate right now is relevant. Not for 3, 6, 1 year from now, but for today. Because as you say, large definition of community voicing things is being heard because we can see the effects of them. We can see the effect of the community feedback on the fact that the IFP is being tweaked on. So that's, it shows that there's there's some responsive, there's some echo to what the community has been trying to bring to the surface. So that's why it's not a done deal.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's not. Yeah,
I think it's not a done deal.
Jung might. Okay, this is wishful thinking. Jung might listen to this podcast. No, maybe it's a waste of his time. I'm sure he's very busy, but he obviously means well, right? Or maybe that's just me projecting. Well,
I think it's important. Okay, so this is just a personal.
Or maybe that's irrelevant. Maybe it doesn't matter if he's, you know. Means well or not.
Right. I think the anarcho-capitalist in me would say, of course, it doesn't matter how he feels mm-hmm. about things. It just matters what he does. But I think in the ultimate debate sense, you have to kind of grant the person their, you know, you charitably just say, you know, they're not evil or whatever, or malicious. For people like Amari and ABC, the proponents and Zheng Zhur, there's a real reckoning right now, because it's not just cranky people who, quote, hate ABC, end quote, who have always, quote, had it out for
Amari. That would be too easy. Yeah, that's too easy.
It's not. It's just, you can't say that anymore. We've got Mark Lundeberg, yeah. who everybody loves. We've got Jean-Luc Foucault, who everybody loves. They're all backing away, and they're saying, and these, at least I know Jean-Luc is a hardcore anarcho-capitalist, right? So, mm-hmm. And was one of the John was one of the authors of the IFP, actually. So he's saying, look, we have to step back from this. And mm-hmm. You're right. What I guess I'm saying is, right now it appears this thing's going through, and we have this short window of, not we, but the community has this short window of time to try to alter it. And then once
it is possible. It is possible. That's what, okay, this is, as you just said, it's not just, poo-pooing ABC or Amaury's work, because that's not at question here. It really isn't. We know that ABC has been running, the client implementation that is reliable and that miners are running right now, right?
Very unsexy work, very unappreciative.
Okay, exactly. Okay, so that's at play here, right? It's been unappreciated work, but miners are like saying, okay, we realize that this is a lot of work. We want to make sure that we are not the only ones funding. We want to make sure that there's everybody who's using this software that will fund the software. So it's, miners are also, I guess, reaching their own limits. They're like, okay, we want this to go through. Let's find a good way to do this. Pushing the IFP, okay, fine. And now, like you said, people like Mark or Jean-Luc that are also stepping out right now of the debate and saying, okay, maybe guys, let's not push this. I mean, it's a lot for the community to go from where it was like a month ago to seeing lead developers and people like Jean-Luc, you know, building Electron Cash, who's built Electron Cash, who actually would be one of the beneficiaries of the whitelist, right?
There it is.
I mean, if this is not showing something, that this is more than just a, you know, disagreement on the IFP. This is really more than that. It's people maybe listening and realizing, okay, we're not ready. Let's not push it. Let's not be so eager. Let's maybe like step back, see let's see what happens if we step back, and maybe this thing can be ready for like in a year from now. And that would be fine, wouldn't it? I mean, maybe that's me again being way too optimistic.
No, you just made me think that, because even Zheng said that.
I mean, okay.
In his amendment, he said,
okay,
look, if it doesn't garner 2/3 of the hash rate, the hash power, the hash vote, everyone afraid.
Yeah, but that's.
And it's not going to go through.
So maybe that's the next thing that's at play right now. It's if it will go through, if 2/3 of the hash power says yes and basically clicks and says we want this to happen. But again, why two-thirds? Why not 95%?
Right. I agree. It's completely arbitrary. I totally agree with you.
Okay, now it's not by default anymore. Like, these are, right, these are a good thing. But what I'm more than having this mechanism right now being proposed for the miners to be able to, you know, activate BIP9 or not, I think there's something about the fact that this is a complete new, this is a paradigm shift for the Bitcoin Cash community, right? We've never talked about self-funding. We never talked about voting. We never talked about, you know, we talked about a lot about emergent consensus and stuff, but this would be new. This is a new layer. This is a new mechanism. And instead of just rejecting it, you know, point blank, but instead of being like, let's tweak that, let's bring that in, let's remember what those other blockchains are doing, maybe leave more time for people to also just get a grasp, let it play, basically. But instead of that, we're seeing kind of we're doing it. You know, and it's like, but like, wait, like, we're just, you introduced this out of nowhere. Like, let us like hash it out for a while and then we can do it. And we can do it in a great way with every actor of this ecosystem. I'm not saying that we need to all agree, right? It's obviously going to be a compromise because, you know, it has to be with different actors, different stakeholders, but basically to come up with the better option. And I feel like we can still aim for that. It's still something we can have. But is it going to require a lot of, you know, sweat and tears and lengthy conversation like ours? Oh my goodness. To, you know, maybe find and get a eureka moment. Yeah, but that's what we're here for. On top of other things that we're doing in our work, but we're so lucky. At the same time, I feel so lucky to see it unravel, to be part of it. To actually, something that maybe I can just mention, and it steps a little bit outside of the IFP, but I am organizing an event in Lugano on the 7th and 8th of May with Bitcoin.com and other partners. And what was interesting is that when I started this project, the event was supposed to be at the end of May, right? And I thought, that's so sad. It's like we're going to miss out on, you know, the halvening, hard fork, you know, Bitcoin Pizza Day, whatever. Like, May is full, right? Mm-hmm. May is full of things. And I was like, it would be great to have the event earlier so that people still have that moment, that shared common moment, an event to bring people together, to shake hands, to leave your Twitter and your social media for 2 days and just like remember, who are the actors here in this space. And to maybe still foster relations, foster business, foster the community, really. And my dream right now is really to bring this business world and the hackers world together in one event. Okay, I know I should never have split audiences at an event, but my goal is like to bring these together, really. That's why I'm all putting them around a ping pong table. No, I'm kidding. But it's just the idea that we have an event here where we can showcase the best in business, while at the same time inspiring, you know, developers to be part of this. And this is, again, a little flashback to VCH DevCon Amsterdam. When I saw people like Roscoe coming here at this event, I didn't know him. And he was just like, yeah, you know, Ethereum, Truffle Suite, then Panda Suite, and all these things. And now he's working on CashScript. I mean, that's, for me, that's inspiring. And that's what events can do. They can inspire people to start to redirect themselves and realize, oh, this is really exciting. This is a community I want to be a part of. There's exciting tech. I can be part of it. And that's why I want events to not only inspire newcomers to the space, but also remind maybe the OGs that are just like so stuck in their everyday thing that this is still ongoing. And we have this, not this duty, but this chance to really showcase as well. Maybe for people that step in now, they're going to be like, oh God, what is this happening? To tell them it's okay. You know, like, don't worry. Like, it's just, this goes on. But at first we are people that do care about the tech. And we want to make sure that the tech that we have is the best, because we're not just doing this for our own self. We're doing this for a lot of, I mean, we have this sort of grandiose ambition, right, of onboarding the world to a new alternative financial world. And it's at play. It really is at play. And, you know, regulators are looking at us. Other blockchains are looking at us. We need to make sure that we have enough people using, understanding the technology, empowered users is our key. Really, really is our key. And that's what I want to bring more of. I really want to bring more users, inspire more users to peer-to-peer electronic cash and cryptocurrencies in general. We have, on it, I mean, when's the last time you saw someone doing a transaction live? Like, you know, like every time I do that with people, every time I onboard them and I show them how easy it is to make a transaction, that's still a magical moment. It still
is. It really
is.
It really is.
There's,
you're right.
There's, and people don't realize. And that's something I look forward to having as well. At the next Crypto Canal meetup here in Amsterdam, is to really offer that full experience. Like, here's a little bit of crypto, and look how easy it is to like donate to like EatBCH, for example. Here's a QR code. Oh, you were wondering how you could impact someone in Venezuela right now? Here, you can send them, you know, 20 cents, 10 bucks, or more. Like, and you can do that in a completely censorship manner in a fast, reliable way. I mean, that's me in my magical moment. every time that happens, it's just like, yeah, the person lightens up and is like, wow, it was so fast, so easy. And I'm like, yeah, you know, welcome.
That's awesome.
And don't forget to back up your keys.
Oh, by the way, do you have a piece of paper you can write to?
No.
When is the Lugano thing going to happen again?
So Lugano is 7 and 8th of May. That's going to be in Lugano, Switzerland. And the next Crypto Canal meetup is on the 6th of March in Amsterdam. So
that May meeting is going to be...
Yeah.
That, if you can, and I don't have to tell you this, but if you can get all the big shots there, that could be a...
Well, right now, I have Roger Ver confirmed, Stefan Russ is confirmed, Vin Armani confirmed, and Amaury Séché confirmed.
Did you say Amaury is confirmed?
Yes.
Woohoo! Okay, so obviously there's going to be some MMA going on there.
Oh my God. Everybody, enjoy your Bitcoin pizza day. No, it's... indeed, I want the best people in this industry to come, to share, to debate, and eat pizza, and enjoy Lugano, and go spend your crypto, because Go Crypto has been doing a lot of work on the ground, onboarding a bunch of merchants. So it really could be a full, you know, full cycle experience for customers, for people coming, for attendees, from different boards, right? I'm imagining for the regarding like our business stage, like, you know, really showcasing our products, infrastructure, to take Gabriel's words, the Tocambrian explosion. there's many things to celebrate. And at the same time, to have a hackathon stage at the same place, I think that's really unique. Last time I organized, let's say, just the hackathon side, and I'm really looking forward to have like this mix. So,
well, you made some news. this is some news here. So that meeting in Switzerland is,
it's going to be cool. Yeah.
It's going to be historic. I think it's going to be a big, big deal considering when it's happening. So,
I'm working hard on it. A bunch of people working hard on it. So I think it's going to be quite something. And it's the first Beyond Bitcoin event that we're organizing. So that's also very exciting. It's
very, very cool. Well, I'm super excited to see how that rolls out and what happens there. I kind of have a standing deal with Eleanor here, and that is that I only keep her for half an hour. And I've definitely dragged her way beyond
on and on. Oh my goodness. Like, let's stop already. Cut. No, <I'm kidding.
laughs> And so before I let you go, how can people follow you, find your work, and keep up with all things Eleanor Blanc?
I guess my Twitter is still the best place to go, Block Blank. If you want to follow what's happening with CryptoCanal, CryptoCanal.org. We have a Telegram with the announcement. And of course, check out Bitcoin.com itself for events coming up. And yeah, I'm pretty available on Telegram. Find me there if you want to hit me up and ask me things. I'm happy to either onboard new users, have more partners. Like, I'm happy to be the person connecting other people. So I'm always available.
That's an invaluable service. So very, very cool. I really enjoyed this. I learned a lot, fleshed some ideas out here, and we're on to episode 4. Thanks so much for doing this. And
thank you, Kelso. Thank you for having me. As usual, a pleasure. And till episode 4.